On top of my many titles as mom, entrepreneur, and creative, I've also added host. Drew and I host on Airbnb on our favorite island in Hawaii. We started hosting as a way to make some extra income, and we've had such an easy breezy experience. Now we host year after year, and it's been a fantastic side hustle. Not to brag, but we've also been crowned Airbnb Superhost several times, so we are really killing the game. It's about having spaces we can enjoy as a family while creating memorable experiences for our guests, and it helps that we earn a little extra cash on the side. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. But there's power when you say, yes, I can do anything, but I don't have to do everything. That sort of confidence is what is going to allow you to go deeper with clarity instead of going wider and creating chaos.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a 7-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast.
We've all heard the saying that more is more, especially when it comes to the business world. You know what they say, if you want to succeed, you need more offers, more products, more services, and more revenue streams. But what if we told you that this widely held belief might be misguided? What if, in fact, the key to sustainable growth, success, and personal satisfaction doesn't lie in piling on more? Today, I'm going to share a different perspective from the hustle mentality that has infiltrated our lives and our businesses. And I'm going to show you that less might actually be more, especially when it comes to embarking on the path to prosperity and focusing on quality over quantity. Now, before we dive in, I do want to say that this isn't necessarily a one-size-fits-all approach. Obviously, diversification and multiple revenue streams can be incredibly valuable in certain context. However, the relentless pursuit of more often comes at a hidden cost. And I want to help you determine what is right for you and your business as you start to plan your next year. Are you ready to challenge a notion that more offers are the holy grail of success? If you are, then let's dive on into this eye-opening exploration of why sometimes simplicity and focus are the keys to reaching new heights. Stick around, because by the end of this episode, you might just find yourself questioning your own approach to all the things. Let's dive on in. You know what time it is. Sweater weather, football season, Q4. It's the home stretch, gold diggers, and it's time to close out another year of growth and prep for the next year of revenue. To bring in more business this Q4 and beyond, you need sales software that helps you score, and the top tools are all inside the new HubSpot Sales Hub. With a customizable prospecting workspace, smart deal management suite, and AI-powered apps, you can take total control of your sales operation and manage your people and pipeline with ease. The AI-powered chat spot speeds up your day-to-day tasks with simple chat solutions, while AI Assistant cranks out copy, outlines, and out-of-the-box ideas. They're cleverly designed to accelerate your workflow and baked right inside of your CRM. When you pair Sales Hub with other hubs and HubSpot Smart CRM, your team will be on the same page across the entire customer journey. Leads won't slip through the cracks, and data is connected across marketing, sales, and operations, so you can better measure your impact on the bottom line. Stop sticking to the same old strategies and start closing more deals, because the best time to score is Q4. Make the switch to HubSpot Sales Hub at hubspot.com/sales. Yesterday, I was online browsing content, and one of my friends shared a post created by Alex Hormozi. I love Alex. I know him in real life. He's an awesome guy. And he was debunking the myth about having 7 revenue streams. You might have heard the saying, in fact, I've even said it on the show, that the average millionaire has 7 revenue streams. What he was talking about, though, and what I loved about his message is that the average millionaire didn't get to become a millionaire because of the seven revenue streams. He talked about how the average millionaire usually starts with one core offer, and they have their focus and their determination and their energy and their efforts all focused on this one offer. And then as that offer grows and their results come and the revenue follows, then they systemize that offer and the way that they're strategically selling it. And now they have the bandwidth to expand to have many different revenue streams. And I so related to this. When I started my business and started, the main offer was wedding photography. That's how I hit six figures. And then once I systemized that piece of my business, I was able to expand my offerings into some of the things you see today: online courses, my podcast, Airbnb properties, and more. And I just thought it was a really powerful reminder because I think a lot of new entrepreneurs are coming up and they're hearing these things about seven revenue streams and they're having a diluted focus, which is leading to diluted results. They're trying to do too much too soon. And so today I want to really talk about this idea of having this really specific focus so that you can get specific results. And then as you systemize, you can expand. So last night, Drew was cooking dinner and I played a voice message from one of my friends. I'm going to keep her nameless because I didn't ask her permission to share this on the show, but she is an amazing artist and she runs a really amazing company. I have her art on the walls of my home and I love her to death. We actually met years and years and years ago in the wedding industry and our friendship has just spanned over a decade. And Drew was cooking dinner and he started hearing this voice memo come through. And my friend is almost like frantically talking about her business. She has a million ideas. Things aren't going exactly how she wants them to be going right now. And so her ideas are like, I need to get into retail stores and I need to redo my website and I need to optimize this page and I need to get a new printer and all these different things. And as we're listening, like the overwhelm is building. Like Drew is over there like sauteing summer squash and I can like feel his overwhelm just listening to the franticness in her voice. And I think so many of us can relate to that, right? Like, especially if our business isn't performing how we want it to, we start to spiral and think about all these things we should be doing. And then we get so overwhelmed with these ideas that we're just straight up paralyzed. And what was so interesting is as a friend looking in with Lindsay, knowing her, her talents, her business, I very quickly tried to shift the focus. Instead of doing more, what if we focused on less? What if we did more of the right things? What if we went a little bit deeper on what was already working instead of trying to go wider and explore uncharted territories, especially when you're in a state of overwhelm? Now, I tell this story because I think a lot of times we can very quickly shift into a scarcity mindset. And we believe that in order to make more money, we've got to create more things. We've got to have more offers on the table. But I simply do not think that's true. In fact, the Pareto principle, which I love about, I wrote about it in my book, states that for many outcomes, roughly 80% of the results come from 20% of the actions. So when you think about it, we want to think about results and efforts. In order to drive better results, the answer isn't always more effort. Because a lot of times when we try to do more outputs, more efforts, more actions, we're really just spreading ourselves so thin that we're not optimizing anything. In fact, that has been my Achilles heel for a lot of entrepreneurship. I am someone with ADHD. I get really excited when I get a new idea and I like to move fast. Like I get annoyed that people can't move as quickly as I do because the minute that I see something and I get something, I want to just do it. And one of the problems that I have with entrepreneurship is that new ideas excite me so much so that going wide feels more exciting to me than going deep. And I've really had to retrain myself, retrain my brain, put boundaries in place to kind of hold me to this notion that I want to go deep and not wide in life, in business, in friendship, in conversation. Because the dangers of overexerting ourselves as business owners are rarely talked about, right? It's so fun as entrepreneurs to share about the new offer, the new product, the new service, right? Like we get excited. It feels newsworthy. We're excited to put it out into the world. But we very seldom hear about those behind the scenes moves that really make the greatest impact. These are the moves that you can't see. You don't really share online, but you will feel and experience when it comes to things like freedom and results, which honestly, I think most of us are after. You know, we talk about things about avoiding burnout and doing less, but how do we ensure that we are building that into the way that we're doing business? That we're not just telling ourselves, when I hit this certain point or after that next launch or when my bank account shows this, then I will slow down. Because most of us go into entrepreneurship to get and unlock that freedom that we're craving. And yet so many of us start businesses and basically build ourselves jobs. So how do we hone our creativity, find ways to get excited about going deeper and not wider, and focus on the work that isn't fun to show and can't necessarily be seen, but will be experienced, that will actually reap the type of rewards and results that we were after when we started this whole thing? This year's focus for me and my team, and as we move into the next year, has really been about ease. When people ask me what's next, because it's a question I get so often, I tell them that it's much of what they're seeing. It's much of the same. And it's so funny because, again, I've had to retrain my brain. I actually was just having a conversation with one of my best friends about this yesterday, that we are in a place in our businesses that we have worked so hard to get to. So one of my best friends and I were talking, and she sent me a voice memo yesterday, and she said, I feel like I'm in a funk. Like, I'm not excited about anything I'm doing. I'm not really excited about my work. I find myself procrastinating. I feel kind of lazy. And I had this huge realization when I voice memoed her back and I said, maybe the fact that we're bored in business is an invitation to find joy and excitement in our lives. Whoa, right? Because as entrepreneurs, a lot of times we get that excitement, that creativity from the work that we're doing. It's beautiful. It's why so many of us become entrepreneurs. But we spend year after year after year promising ourselves that we'll slow down when, we'll rest when, we'll enjoy the fruits of our labor when. And I realized that when we go deep and not wide, we start to break open these opportunities for the time that we've been craving, the freedom that we've promised ourselves and our loved ones, and the joy of building things that are not needing and requiring so much of ourselves. And so when I voice memoed her back, I said, maybe it's good that we're bored. And bored not in a bad way, but bored in a beautiful way. Bored in a way that we have worked so hard to build these systems and lay this foundation so that we can finally just be. And so I want for you to think about what this looks like for you. Maybe your tendency is to create more. Maybe you create and launch something and you kind of get some results and then you're on to the next thing. I think it's natural for us. But what if you thought about launching that same thing over and over and over again? Do you want to know something crazy? This year compared to last year, we are up 40% in terms of revenue and profits across the board, 40%. So it's pretty amazing that we've had such an increase this year because we've launched the same things. In fact, my signature programs I've had for 6-7 years, and every year I'm launching the same things. Like, it's been years since I've created a new program. And I love that because every single time we launch it, it gets better. I get better. The course gets better. The pages gets better. The copy gets better. The graphics get better. Everything gets better. And while some people might think that sounds boring, what is exciting to me is seeing this one thing continue to evolve and grow and get better over and over and over again. And so many entrepreneurs, what they do is they create something, they put it out into the world. They think, okay, well, surely that was a flop or it didn't work. They're not willing to refine. And I think that there is something so beautiful in watching an entrepreneur with restraint. Because we are the kind of people that we could do anything and we see all the possibility. And that's a beautiful piece of entrepreneurship. But there's power when you say, yes, I can do anything, but I don't have to do everything. That sort of confidence is what is going to allow you to go deeper with clarity instead of going wider and creating chaos. So while I love my business, and while I'm at this place where we kind of joke that it's rinse and repeat, and I say that in a positive way, I used to look at it in a negative way of like, oh, this just isn't very exciting. It's rinse and repeat. And then I realized the rinse and the repeat of my business is a gift. It allows for refinement. And that is powerful. And when I had to shift that mindset of like, it doesn't have to be new to be exciting. Like, what if we looked for excitement in some of those small things? Again, the nuances, the things that no one's going to see or celebrate on Instagram, but the things that we know we're improving upon. And that to me has just been a huge reframe of like, more isn't more. More is not always more, especially with entrepreneurship, because we've all had those small ideas that have turned into bigger things that require more time, more effort, more energy, less freedom. And we've wondered, why am I working so hard? And so what I love to celebrate is the restraint of saying, I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to evolve this thing. I'm going to make it better over time. I'm not going to get bored. I'm going to find ways to make this creatively exciting. And I'm going to celebrate the stuff that no one else will. And that's where I want for you to think. Because you might be out there just thinking, I've got to just keep creating and I've got to keep selling and I've got to find new people. And it's like, no, what if you could do less with bigger results? That's what I want for you to be thinking about. If you love the Gold Digger podcast, you've probably heard me talk about my best friend, Amy Porterfield. Did you know that she has her own marketing podcast too? It's actually the first podcast I ever listened to. Online Marketing Made Easy is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Every episode focuses on giving you the best strategies for online business owners, including starting a digital course, growing your email list, social media content creation, and hosting webinars. Amy is the best at breaking down big ideas and strategies into actionable step-by-step processes, and her show is designed to get you more results with a whole lot less stress. Tune in to Online Marketing Made Easy wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Gold Diggers. Lately, I've been getting excited to finish furnishing our new home, which is why I want to tell you about a brand that we absolutely love, which is Article. I have been a fan and a customer of Article for years. I'm always blown away by the curated assortment of furniture styles they offer. They have mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and even boho designs. There is something for everyone, no matter your taste. In our last house, we had their sofa and leather chairs. At our lake house, we have their dining table and chairs. We also just ordered some of their outdoor furniture for our new patio. Like, if you can't tell, we are obsessed with Article. The quality and style are top-notch. Article's online-only model means that they can offer some great prices with fast and hassle-free delivery. Pick the delivery time that works for you, and they keep you updated every step of the way. Article's customer is also amazing. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and always there when you need them. If you're like me and you're itching to give your home a makeover, I highly recommend checking out Article. They believe in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their commitment to style, quality, and affordability, it's never been easier to transform your space. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/golddigger and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/golddigger for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. We did not introduce a single new product this year. This is one of the first years that I haven't launched something new. And I believe that we are up 40% because we have been spending time going strategically deeper instead of going wider. So how do we do that? What does this actually look like? So let me give you an example. Do you remember how back in 2020 in the pandemic, so many business owners started scrambling out of fear? And their first tendency was to create new offers and get them out into the marketplace, like generate revenue as quickly as they could. So many creators were creating, trying to fill that void, solve a problem, give a solution with their offers. I think that's awesome. Now, something really interesting happened to me when 2020 hit and everyone was just like dealing with this uncertainty. I went back to the basics. So instead of creating new offers, we did the opposite. We started to go really deep. We took that time and that pivot, and we decided to focus on what we already had going for us. So during that time, I started doing some deep investigative work inside of our profits. What was actually selling? What was responsible for the selling? What were our conversion rates? What was our traffic? How were we generating that traffic? We went back to the basics. We started looking at things like search engine optimization and how we can optimize our top pages. We looked at our traffic channels. What was responsible for sending traffic and how can we get more traffic onto the pages that were selling the things? We looked at our funnels. How could we simplify them? How could we connect people to an end result faster? How could we put the subscriber in the driver's seat of that experience? Now, what's interesting is that these things sound really boring, right? I'm not on social media saying, oh my gosh, look at me updating my keywords for my search engine optimization. Isn't that awesome? But I'm taking that energy, that same energy that makes a new offer exciting, and I'm pouring it into the things that are already working, like gasoline on a fire. So when I think about conversations with my friends, like the friend who is scrambling and thinking, I need to be in stores. I need to change this. I need to redo my website. I need to do all this. I said, okay, how much traffic is landing on your site today? She told me. Where's that traffic coming from? She told me. How is that traffic converting into sales? She told me. So the number one thing we need to focus on today is getting more traffic onto your site. Give me three different ways you can do that. Going onto Instagram, being on podcast episodes, leveraging Pinterest. Oh, wow. Okay. Suddenly that doesn't feel super overwhelming, does it? You can start to take action. And so when we start to reverse engineer what is actually getting us results and how do we go deeper on them, we start to gain clarity around our efforts. And every effort that we are doing in our business is now tied to a measurable result, meaning you're no longer finishing your days saying, what did I actually achieve today? What did I accomplish? Because you now know with certainty that the efforts that you're putting in are actually moving the needle in a way. Now, I know that some of those things like SEO and optimizing pages and focusing on your conversion can sound boring. It might not feel as exciting as a new launch and the energy around it. But what is exciting is that going deeper is going to give you better results with less effort. What would you do if you suddenly freed up a few hours of your time? What would it look like if you finally experienced some of the freedom that you promised yourself when you started this business? What would you do with extra income from the results that you're going to drive through these efforts? Think about these things. You're so much closer to them than you imagine. So if you are with me on going deeper on your current offers, instead of coming up with more, let's talk about three very specific ways that you can get started today. So the first one is that we want to focus more on the lifetime value of your customer than getting a new one. So recently, one of my friends posted about how she's working with a business coach, and she was discussing this idea of having a bullseye for next year. Like this business coach sat them down and said, okay, what is your number one focus for next year? And she's like, we did not have clarity around that. So they started digging in to figure out what was actually giving them results and what efforts were leading to those results. And they recognized this one thing. She discovered that if instead of focusing on fancy marketing and new content, if instead of trying to get new customers, they could retain their customers and lower their churn rate, which just means people that fall off of their plan, by 2%, they could increase their revenue by $750,000 next year. Think about that. If they can just keep 2% more of their customers and keep them happy and satisfied and paying customers, they could earn almost $1 million additional dollars in revenue without getting a single new customer. Instead of launching a ton of new features or bells and whistles to her current offer or creating a bunch of new offers, her and her team are just going to focus. Their bullseye for next year is figuring out how to go deeper with their current community and focus on giving them a better experience and better support. This is so much less work in the long run because they're not even worried about getting more customers. Customers are going to come. They're going to get new customers. They're going to grow their business without a doubt. But now they know that the bullseye is not necessarily running out and trying to speak to the masses. The bullseye is in serving the people that are already at their table and serving them so well. In fact, studies suggest that depending on the industry you're in, acquiring a new customer can cost 5 to 7 times more than retaining an old one. So maybe instead of thinking about a new offer and new customers, you focus on things like awesome customer service, or improving your products and services based on feedback, or reducing your churn. All of these can increase the lifetime value of your current customers and drive massive results. It might not look as great on social media, but it's going to feel incredible when you see your accounting report at the end of the year. Gold diggers, we all know the B2B landscape can be a bit complex. From lengthy buying cycles to complicated decision-making processes, reaching your target audience can be tough, but I found a solution tailored just for you. LinkedIn ads. A whopping 79% of B2B content marketers say LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. That's because with LinkedIn ads, you're not just casting a wide net and hoping for the best, you're strategically building relationships and driving real results. We're talking about a platform with over 1 billion members, including 180 million senior level executives and 10 million C-level executives. You are networking with the actual decision makers. And LinkedIn's targeting and measurement tools are specifically designed for B2B marketers, meaning you're not wasting time or money on irrelevant leads. In fact, in the tech industry, LinkedIn ads have been shown to generate 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend compared to other social media platforms. Using LinkedIn ads allows you to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to industry trends and developments, whether it's finding the perfect partner for a collaboration or uncovering new opportunities for growth, LinkedIn can be your secret weapon. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/goal to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/goal. Terms and conditions apply. On top of my many titles as mom, entrepreneur, and creative, I've also added host. Drew and I host on Airbnb on our favorite island in Hawaii. We started hosting as a way to make some extra income, and we've had such an easy breezy experience. Now we host year after year, and it's been a fantastic side hustle. Not to brag, but we've also been crowned Airbnb Superhost several times, so we are really killing the game. It's about having spaces we can enjoy as a family while creating memorable experiences for our guests, and it helps that we earn a little extra cash on the side. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. The second thing that you can do is to optimize your website. So one of the things that I'm going to talk about in an upcoming episode is how we have really dialed in on our measurement and our numbers. Like, I want to be Shark Tank ready every day when I step up to my business. And so you want to make sure that you are doing what you can to optimize your website. So you want to make sure it's user-friendly, your website is loading quickly, it's mobile responsive. You want to make navigation super intuitive. You want to provide clear call to actions, no dead ends on every single page. If you're not sure if your website is intuitive or actually connects people to the sale, my recommendation is to get some tracking and some measurement set up. So you want to have things like Google Analytics running. Even if you don't know how to use Google Analytics, set it up today. It takes just a few minutes. You can Google exactly how to do that and start collecting data. If you set up Google Analytics today and you don't even use it for 6 months from now, you're going to have all this data. But if 6 months from now you're scrambling and you're having a situation and you need to figure out traffic and conversion and all these things, you cannot look back at old data. So set up things like Google Analytics. Another fun thing that I do is called the mom test. Hand your computer or your phone over to someone in your life. It could be your mom, it could be your neighbor, it could be your friend, it could be your child, and tell them, I want you to go buy this thing. See how many clicks it takes for them to figure out how to purchase from you and figure out how you can make that more frictionless and more seamless. So watch them navigate it. Don't guide them. Don't tell them where to click. Don't tell them about the features of your website that only you care about. Just watch how they scroll, click, and read. And again, make this as easy as possible. Another resource, and this isn't sponsored, is created by Donald Miller. He has a really great resource on how to optimize your website. One of my favorites are the three videos on his website. His website is 5minutemarketingmakeover.com. That's the number 5minutemarketingmakeover.com. I'll include this in the show notes. Again, we're not affiliated with Donald Miller, but this is his expertise and he really provides some awesome value. So if optimizing your website feels out of your wheelhouse or you're not even sure how to do that, sign up for Google Analytics, start collecting website data. It's going to help you as you grow in your knowledge and also figure out how to create the most seamless and easy experience for people so that once they land on your page, they are able to quickly and easily become a customer. And then lastly, increase the conversion of your existing marketing efforts. So there are so many different ways that you can focus on increasing your conversion. Conversion is basically meaning you're taking someone from one part of the process and converting them into another. So it could be, you know, an email opener to a click-through person. It could be a website visitor to a customer. We're looking at how do we actually convert people over. And so some different ways that you can focus on this include split testing. So this is A/B testing. You can compare different versions of emails, web pages, call to action buttons, forms, figure out which one people are taking action on. And split testing just gives you more data and insight that then you can rinse and repeat into different areas of your business. You can also, again, focus on reducing friction. So figuring out, okay, how do I get someone from point A to point B with the least amount of clicks, the least amount of effort, the least amount of time? So figuring out, you know, how can I connect people to the resource faster? How can I gather their email address quicker? There are so many different ways that you can do this so that you're not leaving money on the table or you're not leaving people confused. A confused buyer never buys. And so you want to reduce the confusion and eliminate the friction. And then the third way that you can do this is following up. So you don't want to just be shouting to the masses. You want to make sure that you're actually giving people a memorable experience. Not following up with leads or people who have expressed interest is a huge way that business owners lose money. In fact, according to a really interesting article on woodpecker.co, the most optimal number of times of follow-up is 2 to 3 follow-up emails before you give up. Now, as you probably know by now, in addition to email marketing, we also use different methods to follow up with people, like chatbots on Instagram and different ways to, one, eliminate friction, but two, have an ability to follow up with people. If you want to see how this works, you can DM me the word chat and you can see what that looks like. But we're always trying to figure out how can we connect people quicker and easier? And then how can we be in touch with them, follow up with them, share about what we're working on and what we're doing. So there you have it. I don't want for you to have a diluted focus and diluted results. I want for you to look at and take a good, hard look at what is working. I want for you to nail down your core offer and get so many results from it that you feel bored by it. And with that boredom comes new energy that will allow you to slowly and methodically expand into all the revenue streams you want to. But get really good at that one thing. Go deep. Don't go wide. I promise you that you are going to start to get the rewards, the results, the benefits, the freedom that you've been craving when you focus your energy and efforts in that one thing first and then expand later. Start simple, get fancy later. So there you have it. You don't need more offers to find success, gold diggers. Remember, quality, focus, and intention can often outweigh the sheer quantity of offers. As we head into the new year, consider how this unpopular opinion might reshape your path to success, both in your business and your life. What would ease look like for you? What would this look like if it were easy? Let that guide you as you make these crucial decisions as we move into the new year. Now, real quick, before we go, I want to keep the conversation going. I want to hear your thoughts and experiences related to today's topic. Hop on over to Instagram at Gold Digger Podcast. Chime in on what your core offer is. I want to know what that is, and I want to see what you're creating in the comment section again at Gold Digger Podcast on Instagram. Let me know what your core offer is. I can't wait for you to be a smashing success there and then watch and see how you expand as you grow. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals.
I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for gold diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.